With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Steel Wars call-in show, episode number 3, wherever you are around the planet. If it's Friday night in America, or it's Saturday morning in Australia, or you have really stayed up quite late in Europe. I'm going to bring on our guest right now. He is from the Weekly Planet podcast. He is a YouTube dynamo. He is a mysterious ghost-faced social media entity. It's Mr. Sunday Movies.
Wow, that's incredible. How you doing? You can hear me? Oh, you can't hear me. Good.
I can hear you.
I was worried it's not going to work.
Yeah, quite a lot of the show is just us being surprised it's working.
Well, I listened last week. Yeah, I did catch that. Yeah. Just constant surprise after surprise. Yeah. But I figure if it's going to fuck up, it's probably going to be on my end anyway. So that's. I'm genuinely surprised this has all come together. How did you do it, Steel? This is incredible.
It's just what an age we live in. The weird thing is there's people listening from all around the world, and we're probably like calling each other from about a 5-minute drive away.
Yeah, so that's right, yeah.
We're really exploiting the technology. Totally. What's been happening, Mr. Sunday Movies? What sort of Star Wars action have you had this week?
The thing that stood out for me, that you saw that fan film on the Star Wars YouTube channel, the stop motion Rogue One thing?
Yes,
it was incredible. And there was a bit at the end where it was like, hey, make your own fan film or whatever, you can tour Lucasfilm. And I'm like, oh shit, should I? I mean, it wouldn't like, that's tempting, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be good, but like, I kind of, you know, I want to see Lucasfilm.
Yeah, it's the amount of half-finished action figure fan films that are about to be half-done.
Absolutely, yeah. What about you? Did anything stand out this week?
Well, all the toys, very exciting. Toys everywhere. Yeah. Mm. So it seemed, I don't know, kind of a weird, after last year's worldwide unboxing, a little bit less, overzealous, but it was cool to see the toys. And then also, I just like seeing people's reaction to the toys.
Right.
I don't mind.
Did you watch the live stream last year?
Yes, it was one of the bizarrest things I've ever bore witness to.
I was in and out over the 12 hours. It just went on and on and on, and just a lot of treading water. Then they cut to Jay LaGaia, then they cut to Rufio from Peter Pan or whatever. Remember that?
I don't remember the Peter Pan bit.
Yeah, no, because the guy, you know, the dude with the mohawk from the Robin Williams Hawk movie, he unveiled one of the toys.
Really?
He did like the Star Wars racetrack Hot Wheels. Something.
I vaguely remember that. I didn't realize he was from, like, he was from that, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I might be wrong, but I'm sure someone will ring in and scream at me that I'm an idiot.
Oh, we can only hope. We can only hope. I was very impressed. My excitement was they released the images for the SH Figure Arts toys, which is like a Japanese... Right. 6-inch, like the Japanese equivalent to the Black Series 6-inch, but by equivalent, I mean about 8 times better. And be, The one thing that I was just like, oh, these figures are so good. Death Trooper. Oh, yeah, sure, Trooper. Yes. Where's Mendo? Right. I want Mendo with a wet cape on my shelf.
Absolutely. Doesn't get a gig. Do you think it's going to be one of those things they're going to roll out, though?
They better, because...
Yeah, surely.
The main reason I want it... Well, there's two reasons that they have to roll out a Mendo in this Fig Arts line is, one, I want it. That's good.
Yep.
And two, I don't want to be one of those whiny people complaining that they haven't released the action dolly that I want.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm just looking at them now. Well,
I don't want to be reduced to that level, but I'm prepared to... I know that it's in my future if they don't do this.
Surely. Although they've got... So I'm looking here, they've just released a Han Solo one. They're like, there's some... Is that new as well?
Oh, that's the Han Solo A New Hope one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that is new, and that is beautiful. And they also released a image of a pretty exceptional Kylo Ren with the face off. And
yes.
Boy, does that look like his face.
Yeah, it's pretty bloody dead on. Toys are getting much better, aren't they, really?
No, they're going both ways.
Oh, really? Okay, so it just depends on your...
I reckon they're getting much better and much worse at the same time.
Do you think it's like the rich and poor gap is growing? It's the same thing with Star Wars toys?
I think it's either you live in Japan or you hate the toys you're buying.
Do you have to order these internationally? These aren't something you can just get like at your Target or whatever?
No, you don't have that that sweet ability. I get mine from eBay. I feel like people buy boxes from Japan and then they sell their extra figures on eBay. So work around for that. But I would like to go into a shop and buy one day, but it's not to be. Hey, we have got tons of callers on hold. There's a live chat if you want to chat there.
Where's that? Let me have a look. Where do I find that? On your website, yeah?
Not on my website. On the Blog Talk page, there should be a little chat window. I'm not sure how it looks for you.
Nah, I haven't got it. I'll fish around. That's all right.
All right, do some fishing, but let's go to some calls because we've got about five people on hold that want to talk the latest war news. And I sort of think there hasn't been that much news this week apart from lots and lots of variations of a Death Trooper molded in plastic. So
sure.
If people want to talk about that or whatever, let's go to the first call. It is from area code 858. And
classic.
You should be able to talk anytime. Who are you and where are you calling from, 858?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Ah, this is so cool. I'm from San Diego.
Nice.
California.
How is it there?
You know, good weather. All the average things you hear about. I mean, above us, I guess.
Right, good, good.
Wow. God, you're making really it sound very, very bleak. And what's your name, San Diegoian?
My name is Aaron.
Hey, Aaron. Do you go to Comic-Con every year?
No, it's so expensive, and I'm just a normal person.
That's fair enough.
I'm just a humble Skype caller.
Mm. What are the tickets? I've never been. What are the tickets for that? I've got no idea.
I don't know. Depending on what you go for, it's like... I don't know, 80-something. I actually really look into it just because I spend my money on mostly burritos.
Good, good. Well, if I had to choose, I'd do the same, if I'm honest with you.
No, I wouldn't. I'd go to Comic-Con. A leader of Comic-Con. I'd do anything to go back to Comic-Con. It's the best. I actually don't think it's that expensive. I think it's about... I don't know. I guess it's all relative, but I think it's about $175 for the week. And I just think you Americans are spoilt for choice. Like over here, that's to see all that stuff. And I find it's worth it. But what's on your mind?
All right, so my question isn't really news-based. It's just something I've been thinking about lately. In all these new Star Wars properties, they seem to always, you know, introduce a little new force power here and there. So, like, in Force Awakens, you got the ability to put somebody to sleep. In Rebels, you've got somebody controlling animals. So I just want to know, what would make you the most angry if they introduced a new force power that was just kind of off the wall?
Right.
Still, you hate the spinny lightsabers. You hate any deviation, or much deviation, don't you, from the tradition?
The spinny lightsaber was just, for one, it was ridiculous, but two, why did it just come out of nowhere? Like, if I could spin a lightsaber, like, I wouldn't be getting Ubers. I'd be doing that all the time. I wouldn't just be busting it out, like, on the last day of the week.
Yeah. I think if they made Force Ghosts, like, they could be solid to fight or something like that. Like, if it went to that level, like, where, like, Yoda's back and he's fighting Snoke or whatever, and he's a ghost, but he can, I don't know, use a lightsaber. That would be like, nah, what are you doing?
If we all believe in him, he'll come real.
Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah. Because I think, wasn't that one of the endings of Return of the Jedi? The Force Ghosts of... One of the alternate endings originally was like Obi-Wan and Yoda and Luke were going to fight the Emperor together? I read that
somewhere. I think it's in the making of Return of the Jedi, that beautiful coffee table book. They go through that was one of the possible endings where they were actually going to get involved in the battle, which, I don't know, it sounds very Harry Potter-ish or something. It sounds brutal, right. I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Do you have a thing, no spills?
Time travel?
That would break that universe in half, yeah.
Yeah, time travel or maybe just a casual flying.
Sure.
Just like how Megatron could just fly, just this giant transformable gun, and then he could just take off.
Right. Well, Aaron, you watch Rebels, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, because like Kanan kind of makes Ezra fly every now and then. Like, he'll drop up a thing and he'll lift him. You've seen that, right?
Well, yeah.
Kind of like a super jump.
Right. Because I remember this one where they're training on top of the ship and Ezra like falls off and then Kanan like stops him midair and brings him back. I guess that's not flying though, is it?
It's more of a catch than a fly.
Have you guys watched The Clone Wars?
Yeah.
I'd say bits of it, not all of it.
Because there's one episode where Ahsoka's lightsaber gets stolen by somebody called a Tyrellian Jango jumper, and Ahsoka is chasing this alien through the city, and this alien can just naturally jump as well as a Jedi can. And so I always wondered what like a Jedi Tyrellian Jango jumper would be like if the increase would be like exponential, so they could just
jump
like thousands of feet.
Yeah. Right.
I'd like to know how often you think about this.
You know, pretty often.
I'm going to think about it often now that I know. It's one of those things going to be in my head now. Because that's really true, because different creatures have different abilities or whatever. So, yeah, it would affect them differently. Yeah.
So, after spinning lightsaber episode of Rebels, they said that the new Inquisitor they had introduced but didn't show the face of, they said he was one of those Tyrellian Jango jumpers. And I wonder if originally their plan was just to have him be able to do the spinning thing because he was just such a good jumper. Like, he would just jump in the air and then spin the lightsaber to fly slowly.
Yeah.
And then they just decided they needed to have all of the Inquisitors do it for plot reasons. I don't know, though.
Right. Are you against the spinny lightsaber flying thing?
I'm against the flying. Although it does seem like something that I would have thought up when I was like 5 and thought that was like the most awesome idea ever.
Right. Yeah.
But then again, when I was little, I would think about like, oh, I wonder if the Emperor has a Force Ghost and Yoda has a Force Ghost and they just fight all the time. And, you know, obviously that's a little bit crazy now too, because I mean, what would it be like if you died as a Jedi and then just had to fight bad Force Ghosts, like, for the rest of eternity? That is that.
Oh, God.
It'd be horrendous. Tiring.
Yeah, it would.
So it would be lighting. A real drag.
Yeah, it would.
All right.
No wonder.
Well, actually, I don't think this is going to happen too often, but I have to go. So thanks for answering my question.
No problem. No,
he's got a burrito that's just piping hot.
That's right.
He's already sacrificed so much for it.
Anyway, grab that fork, guys. Bye-bye.
We'll do it back there.
Catchphrases.
That guy gets it. Yeah.
it's you know, it's that fine line of that you want new things introduced, but and something that I love doing all the interviews with different people about is the what people that have watched Star Wars, they think is Star Wars. Like, everyone's got an idea of, like, it should be this, it shouldn't be that. Like,
absolutely.
You know, like time travel, I think if you're a Star Wars fan and you want time travel, you need to just put Trek at the end of the movie and go watch those, because they love it.
I think they do. I think I like the idea of the flashbacks. Like, you know, Rey has that weird flashback. I think that's as far as you take it. And you can kind of see into the future sometimes, maybe. That's it. Leave it at that.
Yeah, well, definitely in her flashback, she saw into the future and the past. So, and Luke got to see the future with his little buddies having a bad time up in the Cloud City.
He did. He knew.
Now,
what was the part of the Ray flash back forward? Which was the future part?
Kylo Ren in the forest.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah. I was trying to think. Yep, you're right. I love that bit. It's a good bit.
Don't question me, Goathead.
No, I'm not questioning you. It was for my own. I was like, which? I was trying to remember it. So, like, if it goes to bloody Bespin and then whatever, and then you're right, forest.
Forest.
I would never question you still.
Thank you. Hey, I found out something interesting over the week. Did you guys, I think he covered it on the Weekly Planet, that George Lucas purchased a bunch of Han Solo comic book artwork?
He did, yeah. I don't know if we did cover that. Yeah, that was super interesting. It's weird that he picked that one out of all of them. That being said, that comic is amazing. You've been reading it, I assume.
I have. Due to my flying back from America, I haven't picked up the next. I think there might be an issue that I haven't read. But yeah, I have got some information about the purchasing of art by George Lucas. And I spoke to a... This is an exclusive, actually, James. Yes.
This has never happened to me before. I literally never get exclusives. Anyway, sorry, go on. Continue.
Well, this is an exclusive. So I talked to a Star Wars artist this week, and the deal is when you do art for a comic or an action figure or anything licensed Star Wars art like that, in the contract, George Lucas has the first right to buy the art. So the artist can keep it forever, but if they do put it up for sale, they have to offer it to George Lucas first. That's the agreement. And
what?
It's not so much that it was a big thing that Lucas bought this Han Solo art. He's buying art all the time. It's just that this artist went, yes, George Lucas bought my art. So it got all this press.
But the artist
I was speaking to said, oh, it's a very, like, he actually buys stuff all the time. And he was saying that he'd actually been a bit sad because the last few things he'd offered up, he hadn't picked up, but then he just recently grabbed some things, so he was feeling better because he'd had all these covers and stuff, and then he sort of goes, oh, yeah, it's time to get rid of this, so you have to offer it to him first. So it is actually while it's awesome that he does buy all this art, he's actually buying it all the time. We've got another call. It is a Skype call, and you've been on hold for about 20 minutes. So if that sounds like you, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Ben from the UK.
Hey,
I knew it.
Where are you calling from, Ben?
The UK.
Oh, you are up so late. What time have you got over there right now?
It is 2:20 in the morning.
Bloody hell.
Nice.
Can I just say something as well? Can I just quickly say something?
Sure.
I am the Weekly Planet comic writer, James.
Oh, right. Awesome. You're Ben Davies.
Yeah, I am.
I bloody love your work. It's amazing.
It was great to hear it. And I was like, me and Eric were just like, yay. We fangirled out a lot.
All my favorite fangirls are called Ben. What is the Weekly Planet comic? You have to help the Steel Wars listeners out on this one.
Well, I came up with the idea one day while I was very bored at my sort of time away from university. I thought, well, Mr. Sunday, also known as James, does a comic book movie podcast, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if he had a comic? So I wrote it and somehow flogged to get an artist on the subreddit, and it happened, and we were able to do it. It just kind of was a very fortunate circumstance of events, and it's basically James and Mason doing weird stuff and weird things happening to them.
Correct. It's kind of like a heightened version, of our reality. A much more exciting version.
Should there be an age warning on this?
No, it's not at all. It's not like
there's occasional profanity, but apart from that, not really. But yeah, okay. I'm glad you like it. I do have a question, don't worry. I do have a question.
Great.
All right, what's on your mind, Ben?
So obviously Rogue One is coming out this year, and it looks to be like it almost looks like a war film in some respects, more than a Star Wars film, like a genre film. And I was thinking, if they're going to do a Boba Fett and a possible Obi-Wan movie, what like genres would they be?
Right.
Ooh.
Obi-Wan would have to be a Western, right? Like an Unforgiven style. That's how I've kind of always imagined it. You guys seen Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood?
I have, yeah.
It's like looking down.
I guess they both could be sort of kind of Westerns.
Mm.
Or I guess with Boba Fett, you could go the, sort of more along the Ocean's 11, like, crazy plan to break someone
and
out.
Like,
or
have all the other bounty hunters there with them. Like,
yeah,
and Boba Fett movie with other bounty hunters I can't name because it's very late and I can't think at the moment.
Boss, 4LOM, IG-88. That's all I got.
Yeah. Dengar.
Dengar, there you go. He's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, either, like, that sort of, for Boba Fett, like a Western, or the other way would be the high-tech heist with the elaborate plan and ruse after ruse and ripped-off face to reveal a different ripped-off face.
So many ripped-off faces. I was imagining more of a Pulp Fiction kind of, or a Reservoir Dogs kind of, that kind of gritty, grimy kind of. But I don't know whether that would suit what kind of Disney are doing. No, you couldn't do the violence, obviously, but... Hmm.
But I don't know. People want an Obi-Wan Kenobi film.
Yeah.
But do they want it?
I do. Like, Ben does, presumably.
I think you could do a single Obi-Wan film. This idea of an Obi-Wan trilogy sounds way too over the top. But like one film that is a Western where he's on Tatooine and just... I can't remember if it was on the Weekly Planet a bit ago. You said something about it's a personal story about him dealing with having to be in hiding and being away from Anakin and what he did. And it was something like he just deals with like the huts. It's like a crime movie, but it's a Western movie, like almost the spaghetti Westerns, but with Obi-Wan and in the Star Wars universe.
That's exactly how I picture it. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a really cool idea.
Hmm.
But
so why do you hate it still? Why are you so against an Obi-Wan film? What's the problem, man?
Well, for one, he can't leave the planet. That, like,
I think that's the difference. That's an advantage in a lot of ways. You can tell a completely different story.
Tatooine is still a big planet. Tatooine is still a big planet, though.
I'm just setting the rules. Like, first off,
what if
you've got one, you can't leave the planet. To me, that's concreted in. He can't leave because
part of his... it's a detriment. Yeah, no.
Like, part of his sort of his story and paying his penance is just eating it on that planet, like babysitting for, 20 years. That's sort of like... I kind of like that with Obi-Wan and Yoda. They just went, yep, we messed up, so now we're going to eat it for a couple decades. Like, they're sort of sentencing themselves to a punishment almost. I don't know. I just don't know. It's just more booky. Like, it's... like, because he's... him dealing with it, it seems like more of an internal... thought-based struggle rather than, like, the thought of him getting caught up in, the mafia and Jabba the Hutt is intriguing, but as much as I love Jabba's palace, I never want a film to go back there because it's sacred, like...
It's insane. It's insane and weird.
Yeah, and I just don't want them to relive it. Like, it was great. Don't go back and...
I just had an idea now what they could do with it is, for like most of the film, it's like a Western where he's going around and maybe he uses like a blaster or something. And when he pulls out, this is just something in my mind that would be really cool to see. And I know I do agree with it would work better as a book, but on film, if for most of the film he uses a blaster or the Force or something, and then near the end, he's like, I need the lightsaber to intimidate people. If there's a Jedi that survived Order 66, then they're obviously going to be a badass, even if they just went into hiding. At some point, he just pulls the saber out, and then just like everyone just backs away and is like, and he just almost like slaughters loads of people at the end.
He'd have to. anybody who saw him, he'd have to kill. Because the word would get out, they're like, yeah, there's this old man with a lightsaber killing people. Like, he'd have to kill whoever, or whoever did it would have to die. But to saw him, would have to die.
So the word would spread that there's an old man down the street with a lot of severed heads.
Yeah, that's right. But I don't think that's a big deal on Tatooine. They're like, there's one every like 100 meters. Just an old man with severed heads.
Tatooine does seem like the kind of place where it'd be like, oh, another head in the gutter there. That's just a normal thing.
That's right. There was a comic called Star Wars Visionaries. I'm sure I've talked about it before. And I don't know whether you'd implement it. You probably couldn't, because I think Rebels are kind of doing this. But Darth Maul turns up looking for Obi-Wan. It's only like, it's a very short comic. And they have this like last kind of battle in the sand. And it's amazing. It's incredible. So I would love to see any variation of that. I'd love to see him. So he starts and he's broken and he's just kind of sick of all this shit. And then he's kind of dragged into something. And then he's kind of reluctantly, the Jedi's kind of drawn out of him. Like he's forced to kind of, that's how I want to see it go. And a trilogy. And then a prequel trilogy.
Well, the trilogy thing is just, that's just nerd Chinese whispers on the internet. Like,
yeah, it is.
It goes from Ewan McGregor's open for an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. They're confirmed a trilogy. Like, it's just, it only takes, the steps between that and that is like three posts on moviepilot.com.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, thank you so much for your call, and thanks for staying up.
For having me. Okay.
Cheers,
right, thank
Ben.
You. Pleasure.
See you, Ben.
Hey, you guys. If you did not know, the Steel Wars live call-in show has a twin sister or brother podcast, the Steel Wars podcast, where I conduct humorous, in-depth, long-form interviews with people that have been touched by the Star Wars universe, whether it be Star Wars actors, behind-the-scenes crew, artists, podcasters, or just super fans. Steel Wars Podcast gives you a in-depth and unique window into Star Wars fandom and the many stories that Star Wars fans have. Episode 97, we interview Tom Bell, Prashy, from Maz's castle. On episode 100, live at Star Wars Celebration, we interview Prashy's on-screen brother, Kratniss, played by Dee Tails, in a hilarious and moving episode. Plus, interviews with the likes of Nathan Hamill, Mark Hamill's son. And if you're a fan of this episode's guest, Mr. Sunday Movies, you got to check out episode 82, where we go over 2 hours on Star Wars and how he got his start as the multimedia nerd magnate that he is. And also his buddy Nick Mason's on episode 59, 72, and a very funny live episode 84 from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with Dilruk Jayasinghe. You can find a separate feed for the Steel Wars podcast on iTunes or go to steelwars.com. The other little bit of news that did come up during the week, Sunday Movies, was that Ian McDermott said that no Palpatine or Palpatine in Rogue One. Sheev is on leave. He's taking a break.
He's just warming up for his trilogy. I think that's what he's doing. He's rested up.
He's cleaning his cape and he's sharpening his little walking stick. He's got a big couple of years ahead.
He certainly does. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
You don't think he's in it?
Nah. Do you think he's going to be in it?
I think... I don't know, obviously, but I think if he was in it, he wouldn't say he was. So I don't think it means anything at this point. I would be surprised if he wasn't in some form, like a hologram or whatever. And because when else are you really going to see him, if not in this? But when's he going to show up?
Do you think
he's not going to be in the Han Solo movie?
And he's playing Khan.
That's very possible. do you think it's too much if they did if they had Vader and him and Tarkin and whatever? Do you think it's too much? Is that what it is, or you just think he's telling the truth? And
well, for one thing, I do think he's telling the truth. I'm a very trusting person, but I do think it's jamming in a few too many characters back into the film. You know, it's very heavily rumoured that we're going to get some sort of CGI face-swapped Tarkin. We've got a bit of Vader. You know, like maybe you could come in and hologram it up, and maybe to keep it real, they won't get Ian McDermott in. They'll just get that monkey back in with the crazy sunglasses. But who knows? But I love the thought that, you know, Sheev is just having a break that week. Yeah. Like that photo of him on the set of Revenge of the Sith where he's got the sunglasses on. Yeah. That's what the internet was invented for, to share images like that.
Correct. Yeah, look, I think just because a character exists in that time period, they don't have to put them in. Not everybody, like, they nearly put a kid Han Solo in Revenge of the Sith. Thank God they didn't. But if it could work, sure. But if he's not in it, I get it. I'm not going to be devastated. You know, it's fine. He's in Rebels occasionally. And
it's also, I was thinking about this the other day, whether, like, what do you keep a mystery for the later films? Like, if you flesh out too much of say, Sheev or Darth Vader in this film, like, and then if you're watching him chronologically, like in the timeline, like in Rogue One, say you find out heaps, and then in Star Wars and Empire they're back to being mysterious again. Like, it's a weird balance to work out. Do you dole out the information that makes it interesting in a chronological way, or in a way that it's released, if you know what I mean?
Whoa, what is that? Sorry. Hello?
Are you on a separate podcast?
I'm sorry, I was trying to bring up the live chat and I think I've accidentally played your podcast in the background. There we go. I apologize. I'm trying to bring up, I can't have the chat open and this at the same time. I suddenly realized.
We've got a ton of callers. The next one is from 3-1 2 area code. Who are you and where you're calling from?
Hey, you guys. What's going on?
What's going on?
This is Mike G from Chicago. Steel, we've interacted on Twitter a few times. I know you quoted
Hey, Mike. What's going on, man?
Not a lot. I'm excited to talk to you both. Two of my 3 favorite podcasts. You just have to add in Meso, and we'd have the full triumvirate. But
Nathan, cut you, Scott. He's not never said he would do anything like even close.
I'm sure Mason's listening to the live feed on his tram right now. So shout out to him in whatever transport zone he's in.
Yeah, eyes on the road, if you can.
Wonderful. I had kind of a question that came up on my mind last week when Tracy was on the podcast, but I know it kind of relates a little bit to what James does with his videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, have you noticed there's sort of a, when I was a kid, I grew up, basically, I was an original trilogy kid. I was 8 years old when Star Wars came out, the original.
Cool.
And by the time Empire came out, I had bought the novelization 2 weeks before the film came out. So the entire plot was spoiled. Obviously, the big spoiler was revealed to me. And it didn't really bother me, I guess. And when I saw the movie, I still enjoyed it tremendously. But I noticed there's sort of a... I don't even know when it happened, really. I kind of think maybe with the rise of the internet, but there's sort of a split now where it's half the culture is sort of obsessing over every little detail in a trailer or speculations, and the other half is they don't want to know anything. Like, everything is spoiler alert. 6 weeks out from The Force Awakens, people are still going, oh, spoiler alert, Han Solo dies. I even feel nervous saying it now, but... When did this happen, and what, like, because I feel like there's not a lot with Rogue One, for example, that we, other than, you know, some of the major plot beats that we don't know. We know kind of how that all ends up. It's sort of like Titanic. You know where it's going, but it's still kind of a fun movie to watch at the same time, even though you really know it's a foreground conclusion, but do you get a sense of when this whole shift happened where it's like, I don't remember spoiler warnings being a thing when I was a kid.
That's a really good point. Yeah, it's definitely kind of amped up and off.
I'm just going to put you on hold while we answer the question because it was just a little bit of weird feedback. I'm not sure if everyone else was hearing that, but we'll come back to you. So just hang there. Sorry, James, what were you going to say?
What was I going to say? Yeah, I feel like something that's really amped up in the last 10 years or so. There's always been kind of like, you know, say The Sixth Sense comes out, and then if you're the person that tells, you know, everybody at school or your office or whatever that, you know, the secret, then you're an asshole. So there is that. But it's really kind of like, there is definitely that two camps of, I don't want to know anything and I want to know literally everything. Yeah, what do you reckon?
I'm just in the middle. Like... Yeah. I sort of want to know everything except that I'm your father thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. No, I totally get that. I think I am the same. Even though I do trailers that like break all this down, I don't actually want someone to send me the thing and say, oh, no, here's the script or this is what actually happens. I don't want to know. I want to take the official information and then kind of glean from it what I can. That's kind of my... That's how I like to do it. But I don't want to be flat out spoiled.
So the one thing I was thinking, how he was saying that it's kind of like Titanic in that we know the end.
Yeah.
And that's more right than we know, because the end of The Empire in Return of the Jedi and the end of Titanic ends with like an old person lying that they had something that they beforehand said they didn't.
Correct, yeah.
So the old lady's been lying the whole time, and she's got the stupid jewel, and then old Sheev, he's just got this, oh, my space station doesn't work. It does. It's going to blow up everything.
Totally,
like, old people lie. That's the message of movies.
That's the takeaway from this. Do you mean, so he lied in the Return of the Jedi? Is that the lie you're talking about?
That is the lie I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. That was a trick. Like, he did, like, that wasn't, he wasn't doing that as, like, a gag. He did that because he's a prick. He's a bad bloke. Yeah.
Oh, so you reckon, like the Sheev's got your nose sort of thing?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. I don't know about the, you know what I want to do? I've been thinking about this. I want to take one of the Star Wars movies, maybe one of the spin-offs, and just go complete darkness going in. So just take a year of not looking. I don't know if that's actually possible for me, because people tweet me a lot of stuff and I have to watch trailers, but I'd love to be able to do that. Just do a year and go in completely fresh.
But I would worry that I'd, like, hemorrhage in the cinema because, like, my brain was taking too much new information. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've heard you say that on the when you talk about the trailers. Like, if you had seen the reveals that you saw in the trailers, then that would have, you'd melt down.
Like, I'm already, like, my heart rate is so far up in a Star Wars premiere. Like, if I hadn't have seen BB-8 beforehand, like, oh, the mess I would have caused.
Right. Yeah.
Even if you know the entire plot to a Star Wars film, it definitely should not be boring the first time you watch it.
No, definitely not. No.
It's interesting. He brought up about Daisy Ridley, you know, when she's eating the bread. I thought things like what got me with Daisy Ridley and Rey was the first time she said Luke Skywalker on Jakku. Like, just, she was so excited to hear the name Luke Skywalker and how she goes, I thought he was a legend or I thought that was a myth or whatever. I just found that instantly, like, because that was when I saw the 8-minute preview at IMAX. So that was part of it. And I was instantly just like, ah, that's my character. That's like, I'm done. Like, she's as excited as me to hear about Luke Skywalker.
You're exactly right, because he is, because that's what we've all been thinking all this time, even when George Lucas was like, there's no sequels, it's never going to happen, shut up. Like, everybody's always thinking, I'm always like, what happened to Luke? I wanted to know. And even though they explored it in the books, I'm like, yeah, that's good, and there's some great stories, but I want to see it. So yeah, you're right, it was really exciting.
Give me that green saber. All right, let's pound through some calls. We've got 11 people on hold right now. Let's go to 425. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Austin. I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Sweet.
Awesome. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. A little sick, but I decided to hang in there for the call. Because I love you guys, and you guys are great podcasters. I've been listening to the Weekly Planet since, like, day one.
Oh, really? Sorry about that. It's a pretty rough audio early on.
So does that mean, like, on when God said, let there be light, the first thing you did, you went and downloaded the Weekly Planet?
I started listening. I watched James's YouTube videos, and then after his channel got canceled, got shut down, I was like, man, I want more of this guy. So I went to iTunes and started listening to the podcast.
That's what I love about the internet, that someone on the other side of the planet can go, I want more of this guy. And they get it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is,
or less. They could also go the other way. I want less of this guy. Block. That's the way it works.
All right, Austin, what's on your mind today?
I was just going to ask you, after disappointing Force Friday last year, what's the number one thing you're looking forward to this year for Force Friday?
Enjoying people complain about Force Friday.
I don't, it's not really one of the things what did they do last year? So they did the, was that the toy unboxing thing?
And then I think where the majority of fans had a problem with Force Friday was going out in the middle of the night to a major shopping center and then not having any toys to sell them.
Sure. Yeah. Well, they had the Phantom Menace toys out there, like some stores did here, apparently.
Oh, at Toys R Us Knox, they literally had Revenge of the Sith, Anakin Skywalker 12-inch, like so many of them. That was one of their hot collectibles.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not really a thing that I look forward to, because they don't really do any kind of big reveals generally, do they?
They're kind of revealing everything in advance, but I think the fun thing about it for me is just
like, I don't even know if I'll buy anything, but I know at the last Fourth Friday, I didn't buy anything, but that was sort of through, there was nothing for me to buy. A few of my friends bought pity items that, like, they never would have bought otherwise, but they were like, well, we are in a Toys R Us at 1 a.m, I should probably buy something. But I held out. I went back empty bagged. I just like the stupidity that we're in a mall at 12 at night. Like, I just think that's fun.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, so I don't like going to, like, a thing. Like, I won't line up for anything. It's like, that's why I'm like, I don't want to go to a Comic Con or whatever, because I just don't want to line up for 6 hours to not get into something when I can just watch it online or order it online.
So you're only going to go to Disneyland if you're on the door.
Pretty much. I want to be ushered in by Walt Disney's frozen head. That's how I want that to work. Yeah.
What about you? What are you looking forward to for Force Friday?
I don't know if I necessarily have anything I'm looking forward to, because I'm one of those people that has gone as spoiler free as possible.
Oh, no.
So I don't know much about, like, characters that we could be getting figures of, but I think it's interesting going back to the.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Going spoiler free, I want to go in completely annoying, because I'm the kind of person who watches the trailer and picks every detail out of it and puts the entire plot together, and I don't like knowing the entire movie going in.
Yeah. Two separate callers, different opinions.
I just like that you've called in to brag that you're such a trailer savant that if you watch a trailer, you can instantly decode the entire plot. That's quite the skill. You should be making videos with Sunday Movies.
That would be great. Yeah, I'd love to take a week off. But I know what you mean. I feel like I'm the same. Like, I can look at a trailer, especially a lot of modern trailers. It's like, what are you showing all this for? What are you doing? Like, I watched Tarzan last night for some reason. And it's like, they showed, like, everything in the trailer. I'm like, well, I feel like I've seen this. It's like, it's not a terrible movie, but I know all of this. Star Wars are a bit cleverer, though, I think, with their trailers than a lot of other kind of studios or companies.
Yeah, generally. But even looking back, sometimes when you get in a YouTube vortex and you watch trailers from, like, the late 80s, how much trailers have developed. Like, you watch a trailer and it will just sort of say, it's a movie about passion. And then it will just show this real long scene without any music, and the girl will go, I'm feeling quite passionate, and light a cigarette or something. It's just, it's such a slow burn.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's good because I think they've gotten better and worse in a way, I guess, there's more subtlety to them, I'll give it that. And they've got rid of the voiceover guy, unless it's like a Rob Schneider film or whatever, if he doesn't make films, you know, so much anymore.
He makes masterpieces.
He certainly does. He's got his Netflix series, Real Rob, which I have not seen.
Oh, my friend's in that.
Really? Your friend's Rob Schneider? Friend, that's amazing.
Yeah, my friend Monty's in that show. He's actually good buddies with Rob Schneider. So there you go.
Nice. That's cool.
Nice. Again. Anything else on your mind?
I just want to tell you, Mason has gotten me really into podcasting, and it's funny because being from all the way across the world, I have a podcast feed full of Melbourne comedians.
Right, yeah. So you got like do go on and the one that Daffalo does, and oh, that's
Built
cool.
Casual, awesome. And,
yep.
Yeah. So I listen to anything Mason's on.
good, yeah. I'll pass that on to him.
Like, make sure you listen to his episode of I Love Green Guide Letters.
All right, thanks, Steele.
Hit these callers.
I listened to that episode.
It was good. Mason was very funny, telling tram exploits. I think I may have missed a caller. So let's go to 817. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Steele.
Who are we talking to? Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Kennedale, Texas. My name's Brian.
Hey, Brian.
I'm a Patreon supporter for Mr. Sunday. And
thanks, man.
Bandcamp supporter for Steele.
What a benevolent caller.
What's that? Here's my question. It's for James because it's a two-parter. It's a past and a future. But the past is when you started out, when you started out and you were reading comments, and some of them were probably negative and some were probably overwhelmingly positive, how do you balance out that emotionally? Do you sort of stick on some of the negative? Does that stick with you? I know Steele's a comedian, so he's used to that.
He's used to the hate, just the white hot hate. Well, you know what? It doesn't really affect me. I mean, I guess it does, I must on some level, but because I've worked kind of jobs and I've been in situations like real life horrible situations, I can't remember, which I won't really go into. To me, it's kind of not real. So if someone's like, "I hate you and you're a dickhead because you said this about Star Wars," I'm like, "Well, this guy." I mean, none of this matters, so this doesn't really matter. So it's kind of just water off a duck's back. And honestly, like, a lot of it is, most of it is really quite funny to me. Like, I love, like, an irrational kind of just, like, screaming idiot. Like, I kind of enjoy it. But, and I guess also because so much of it is positive, so that outweighs it for me, definitely. Yeah, so
I prefer to focus on the negative comments and the negative comments only.
Do you really?
I just like that to fuel my hatred of people around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
My future question is on Patreon. You hinted at something that was coming up in a couple of Thursdays that you were doing.
Right. Yeah.
Do you care to elaborate on that? Or are you still going to keep that very...
Yeah, I can do that. No, that's fine. We're doing a trial spin-off podcast from the Weekly Planet. It's called Caravan of Garbage. And basically we take like a comic or a movie or something from the past that maybe isn't so good. And then we talk about it and one of us tells a story to the other one. And then I'm going to kind of trim it down and I'm getting some people to kind of like animate it a little bit or kind of cut the movie to whatever we're talking about. So we've recorded two, which are in the getting worked on at the moment, and we might do four for the first run and see how it goes. And it might be one of those things where we do it and then we never do it again. You know what I mean? But yeah, we just thought we'd give that a go and see what happens.
Wow, sounds like a very exciting thing to tell you how much I hate on the internet. a new thing to try make you feel bad about.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well,
we're trying to find the good stuff like in it as well. Being like, yeah, this bit's good or whatever, you know what I mean? So,
Well, one last thing. Unlike the other guy, I listen to your podcast and I'm a mayor of a small city, and listening to a podcast gave me the idea of doing a podcast for local government.
Right.
That's been pretty good, even though I know that I'm the guy that Mason hates because I'm in local government.
Did you just say that you're a mayor of a city?
Are you really?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Mr. A Movie Called Ben has been throwing things out there, hashtag make Brian mayor. That's me. I don't know if you've read A Movie Called Ben. Yeah.
That's you.
You retweeted Fergal Quigley's drawing of me and my dog.
I did. Okay,
so that sounds more like an accusation.
Yeah. You're legitimately a mayor, though. Like, you're actually a mayor.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
I'm legitimately a mayor.
Yeah, I hate the mayors in Australia because I don't do anything. I think it's different in the U.S. Is that true?
No, it's not true, but I get paid $1 a month, so it's okay.
All right, then. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm just picturing Brian, he's Diamond Joe Quimby now. That's, I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah, I'm sort of a Diamond Joe Quimby. But so anyway, great talking to you. I know you got a lot of callers, but keep up the good work, both of you.
Cheers, Brian.
Cheers.
Vote one, Brian.
Do it. Oh, we didn't ask where he's from. Oh.
He was from Texas, but I guess...
No, I mean, like, Texas is a big-ish place, right? As far as I know.
No, it's only got a couple of towns. It's fine. Ah. Texas is a land known for its brevity.
Right. Okay, good. It won't be a problem.
All right, let's go to 806. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Oh, wow. I'm also calling from Texas. Hello. Hello.
Did you vote
from the other
Brian?
Texas.
Texas is actually a pretty big place, so I don't think we're probably anywhere near each other. But wow, how do you follow up a mayor? How do you do that?
I don't know. I'm sure you're both in the same room calling.
Sorry, I'm actually didn't think I would be nervous, but here I am, nervous.
Oh, man.
And what's your name? We missed your name.
My name is Alan, and I am from Lubbock, Texas, home of Buddy Holly.
Oh,
heard of Buddy Holly? Yeah,
I know Buddy Holly.
Anyway,
Alan, what's on your mind today, buddy?
Well, have you guys heard of that new lightsaber attraction that they have in the works?
Yeah.
Now, what do you guys think of that? Yes. Yeah.
I'm skeptical about how this would, like...
Can you explain this one to me, Sunday Movies?
Alan would probably do a better job, but my understanding is that it projects like a blade onto a thing you're holding and you deflect laser bolts in a... Is that right, Alan? Am I on the right track?
That's pretty much it. When I first heard about it, I was like, a real lightsaber? I was like, there's no way that would go well for people. But it is just essentially a projection inside of a controlled room. I guess it would be kind of cool.
Is this the thing with the mask on, or is this something else?
I don't know that detail. I don't.
They've only the patent was spotted,
and
the details of the specs. But we don't know, like, in what capacity they're going to use it. Even if they're going to use it, like, but it's just like this trial kind of technology that we might be seeing rolled out over the next few years.
And I have another lightsaber. I'm sort of a lightsaber enthusiast.
Sure.
Between my wife and I, between the two of us, we have 7.
Oh, this is getting more salacious as you go on.
Yeah. What color lightsaber steel would you have if you could choose your color, regardless of your allegiance?
Oh, well, my favorite is green, because that means the world to me because of Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
But I'm not sure I could, like, would I be insulting Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi if I went the green one as well?
It would be a homage.
Yeah, or am I just biting his style, do you know what I mean? It's like that second dude that started wearing cargo pants in the 90s. He must have been so pissed that the trend that he got going had just been ripped off. So maybe I'd go a light orange one as an ode to my cat Jerry's eyes.
That's nice.
Okay. What about you, James?
I always liked Obi-Wan Kenobi's lightsaber. I like the hilt. I don't know. I like the blue lightsaber, I think. That being said, I the Ahsoka white blades look really cool, I think. Yeah.
Cool.
Do you have a preference?
Well, I actually cosplay as a Sith Lord.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And my preference is a blood orange blade, which looks very red until you get close up.
Mm.
So that's what I prefer, but that's probably just because I don't want to spend more money on another lightsaber. But
those swords are thrifty.
Yes, they're actually expensive, and it's kind of stupid. But anyway,
where do you get like a blood orange lightsaber from, though?
There is a company that I do not endorse, by the way.
just so we're clear.
they're actually in Portland, Oregon, called Saberforge. And they have all sorts of different hilts that you can choose from. And you can choose like a chrome finish or a weathered finish. And they have every color of the rainbow just about. and the sound fonts are really cool. I mean, they're really cool, but you know, you're looking at putting down probably $200 to $500 depending on the on the bells and whistles that you want on it. But yeah,
I'm just looking at these now.
Sorry, say that again.
I'm just looking at these now. I'm just at the website, just having a look. But you don't endorse them because of the price, or because like there's one guy there who's like an asshole.
I don't endorse them because I don't get paid to. No, but I actually do. I think they do. They make a great product. But
cool.
Anyway, I won't be too long-winded here. But Steele, I have a question for you. You got to meet Harrison Ford, right?
Uh-huh.
How was that?
It was maybe the most pressure I've ever felt in my life.
That might be a little bit of the pressure that I'm feeling right now.
Where you have Harrison Ford combined. Two of us make one Harrison Ford.
You've got to get your priorities in check, son.
That's a compliment.
It was stunning that he was just standing there. It was very unrealistic that...
Right.
Like that Han Solo or Harrison Ford was standing in front of me, and for 2 minutes I was his attention, and he laughed, and it was very, I remember looking at him and his beautiful eyes, his deep eyes, and seeing the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge in the background, and just sort of like in my head frame grabbing that angle and going, remember this always, remember this always, remember this always. Yeah. keep talking to him.
I was impressed with that interview because you actually got like an emotion out of him. Like he was actually like, you had a little chuckle, you shared a little joke. Like it's a really nice interview.
Do you think that if he came across you that he would recognize you?
No.
You know what, I'd love it. I'd love it, Steele, if you kind of like insisted that he knew you. He'd be like, no, we met at the Opera House. It was magic.
Yeah, one of my gripes with people is when you introduce yourself to them and they go, yeah, we've already met. It's just like, yeah, just go with it. Like,
yeah,
especially at gigs and stuff. Some, you know, you meet like so many people, and
yeah, of course you would. Yeah.
Yeah, I always find that very, and it's hard. Sometimes I catch myself about to do it, and it's just like, it does come off a bit passive aggressive. But I would love to do that to Harrison. It's like, no, we've already met, mate. Nah, remember that minute 50 seconds that we spent together on. You know, yeah, on that day that you met like 300 other people and I asked you questions about Star Wars.
Yeah,
I was the charming one.
And then insist that he buys you a drink.
Oh, that would be awesome. I think maybe there's a chance if I said I was the idiot that had the ring, that he'd then feign it would be like it might erupt a small memory.
Well, would you have the ring to show to him?
No, like, but I had the story. I've got the ring now. Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you did get them inscribed and all that.
Oh, yes. If Harrison Ford tells you to do something, you go do it.
It's true.
Okay. All right. That's a good point. All right. I have other questions.
All right, Alan. Thanks so much for your call, man.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
All right. Sunday Movies. We are going to go to a Skype caller. Who are you and where are you calling from?
I'm Elisa. I'm from Canada.
How are you, Lisa? How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Well.
What's on your mind?
Okay, so I just had a question. There are a lot of little inconsistencies in Star Wars, like even the original trilogy, and then especially between like the prequels and the originals. It's not huge or anything, but I was wondering if there was anything that particularly annoyed you or that you found interesting, like Leia's memories of Padme, even though she was born like immediately and then separated.
Mm. All right, I'd like to warn everyone else on hold. This could take a while.
Longer than 47 minutes.
How
does Obi-Wan Kenobi not remember R2-D2?
Oh, that's your thing. That's right. I forgot. Yeah. But he's seen so many droids. He doesn't care about droids. He has the droid that gets his head taken off, and he's like, whatever. Like, he never mentions it again. He had that droid for years.
R2-D2, time and time again, has saved Obi-Wan Kenobi. And in, like, from Phantom Menace, like, oh, his call sign's R2-D2. Oh, what a great droid. Let's get the super hot handmaiden to clean him, who looks like no one else. It couldn't possibly be anyone else.
Right.
All the way up. Like, and you would think in Revenge of the Sith that knowing that Obi-Wan doesn't remember him, that they would sort of keep that apart, but he mentions R2-D2 by name several times in the film.
Right, right. But to be fair, he says something like, I don't remember ever owning a droid, which is not true either, I guess. But he doesn't ever, like, he's kind of got a wry smile. He doesn't say that, he's not like, I specifically have never seen this droid before and I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he's just messing with him. But how many R2 units are there? Like, thousands, millions.
Yeah, but listen, there's millions of microwaves. But if I had a microwave that saved my life like five times, I'd remember it.
I'd remember the make of the microwave, but I wouldn't be able to pick out that microwave from a different microwave. If we're using microwaves here.
I reckon you would. If a microwave saved your life, you'd remember that bloody microwave.
I'm sure I'd remember the event and the model. But yeah, look, I don't know. I couldn't possibly... Like, you're probably right. You should have remembered. There's a lot of inconsistencies. Well, the one that I don't like is the fact that Obi-Wan's wearing Jedi robes on... we've talked about this. Jedi robes on Tatooine. Like, he's like, I'll just hide out here using my last name and Jedi robes, what I always wear. You kidding me? What are you, an idiot?
Yeah, it's like the village people going undercover, and it's like, all right, you wear this police costume.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be incognito as an American Indian. No one will see anything. But I will tell you one that probably doesn't get mentioned much, Alicia, is there's a Clone Wars episode where R2-D2 and Yoda go on a mission together. They go off and do something. I can't remember what. What was going on when R2-D2 and Yoda are fighting over the torch in Empire Strikes Back? Like, R2-D2 knows that this is the Jedi Master Yoda. Why wouldn't he just give him... I understand that Yoda's trying to keep up this ruse to, see how Luke reacts and to sort of test his patience. But, is R2-D2 just, him and Yoda just went to some improv classes together and they're just going with the scene, or...
He has a lot of information, that guy. Like, he knows Luke and Leia are related. Like, he knows about the downfall of the Jedi. He knows who Anakin Skywalker is. He knows a lot of stuff.
Maybe he's just having, the best time ever tricking everyone. And he's like, man, if only they knew.
If only. Yeah, exactly. Do you have a thing for you that stands out in your mind that you're like, oh, that's a massive inconsistency?
Not really. When I try to think about it, my mind just goes, blank. And I also kind of don't want to think about it because I love them so much, right?
Yeah, I get that, totally. I'm like Steel, who will yell about it.
I like it when she thinks about it, her mind goes blank.
Right, yeah.
She has the memory wipe that R2-D2 needed.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's good, though. It's a good way to, if you love a thing, it doesn't mean you have to, you like a thing unconditionally. That's good. That's great. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, James... your podcast is the reason I got into comics, so I want to say thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. That's awesome. Appreciate it.
All right, nice talking to you. Bye.
You too. Cheers. Have a good one.
Have you start getting checks off these comic companies, James.
Tell you what, you're not wrong. Who do I call? I don't know, Stan Lee? Something like that.
I think it's Tebow. I think it's a ghost of Anakin. What about if Shmi's back from the dead? Are you sick of ridiculous Snoke theories? Well, then you need the Steel Wars Your Snoke Theory Sucks t-shirt and or stickers, which are available now. And instantly upon purchase, you get 10 VIP downloads. 10 hours of great bonus listening. It is all available from steelwars.com.
Who are we talking to and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi.
Hi!
What's going on? This is Tom from the UK.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey.
It's incredibly late at night, so sorry, I'm speaking really quietly.
Nah, man, no problem.
It's like 3 o'clock over here.
It's way too late.
Yeah, I really shouldn't be up right now. So... I'm going to try and speak as little as possible, but one quick question. I'm going to put a bit of a spin on like quite a common question. Instead of saying if you could meet any cast member of Star Wars, who would it be? I'm going to say if you could adopt any member, any cast member, who would it be?
Current age? So like they have to be, so if I take Carrie Fisher, she's however old she is, and she lives with me and she's just like a maniac. I don't know what she's up to. Okay. So, and they can't be dead, obviously. So I can't be like, Alec Guinness. Okay. Still, you got
it. So it's a current day, it's an actor at current day.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Who's the least annoying? What, John Boyega seems like a lot of fun. Do you reckon?
He does seem like fun. I wouldn't mind having Daisy Ridley go halves in groceries each week.
Sure, absolutely. Or do you want to go someone old so that they'll die quicker and then you won't have the burden of looking after an actor and dealing with their neuroses? Do you know what I mean? Do you go on Ian McDermott? Yeah. I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's not going to die. But I'm sure he'll live forever.
I just like that conversation. The first day they move in, you're sitting on the couch watching television, and they go, wow, you had the choice of any Star Wars actor to come live with you, and you chose me. Why is that? And you're just like, TikTok.
Like when you adopt an old... Yeah, an old...
The hands of time.
That's right. You know what I'd do? I'd adopt Dennis Lawson and then just constantly ask him about Star Wars. You know, the guy who played Wedge Antilles who hates Star Wars. So like, what was it like? What was Billy Dee Williams like? Did you have any fun sets, fun stories on set? And he just hates life.
What was it like in the second Death Star?
Did you consider doing a second lap when you're in there? Just to make sure you got it?
I would have. Maybe I would adopt Warwick Davis and just say, mate, back in the Ewok suit. And then just have a pet Ewok. That's exactly what I'd do. Yes. How could I do anything else than that? That is, I'm locking that in. So I'm ready to sign the adoption papers.
Done. Okay. Dennis Lawson. I'll take Dennis Lawson. You take Warwick Davis. Done.
Who, what about you, Tom? Have you got a choice? You came up with this bizarre question.
I'd probably go with, I'd say David Prowse, just because he could reach all the stuff on the high shelves I can't get to.
He could too, that's right.
And he'd spoil the movies for you.
He certainly would.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's stuff on my shelves that I haven't dusted in years, and I need a roommate who can get up there. So who better than the 7 foot?
Yeah.
And added bonus of having David Prowse as your adopted live-in house staff member of cast member of Star Wars is when you have to leave your house for a week to go to Celebration, he can stay home and watch out for it for you.
He's not going, is he?
No. He can do the dishes.
Yeah, he would too.
Thank you, Whisper Quiet, Tom. We appreciate you staying up for us.
Is that?
Okay, guys. Wait, one last question. Massive fan of you, James.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, just, Also, I heard that you were on Screen Junkies Plus, like, a couple
days
ago.
I was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that Nick Mason tweeted at you to say that you should do, like, a movie fight or something. So, does that mean that we might be getting a face reveal sometime soon?
I'm kind of warming up to it because this is kind of this year. This is my my full time job. So, but there's also that kind of aspect of once the cat's out of the bag, like I can never not. Not that I'm going to get hounded constantly. I'd probably never get recognized. But no, I like the anonymity of it. But yeah, but like I'm definitely more okay with it than I was say this time last year.
Right.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Thanks for the support.
Oh, I also I supported your the UNICEF thing that you did a couple months back.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, that did really well. Thanks, man.
It was really shocking to learn that Nick was a tram driver. I don't know why.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That's not a common reaction.
Like I can't pinpoint why I found it odd. It was just like it was just weird. I don't know. It just completely took me off guard. Like,
yeah, fair enough.
I almost thought that, like, no one had that job. Like, but yeah.
Almost everyone does, trust me.
Yeah. But tell you what, he's a damn good tram driver. Probably. I actually don't know. He might be terrible.
I drove next week once. It seemed to be going okay.
Oh, good.
Good.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Even if I manage to bring up again during the daytime, I think I might just stay a creepy whisper voice just to, like, that's my thing now.
That's your thing? That's right, you should do it.
If it's, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon and, like, everyone's awake, I'll still do this voice.
Hey, it's me, Tom. Good to see you all.
Thanks hey, Tom.
Yeah.
See ya.
See you, mate.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a polite yet creepy fan base we are growing here.
Absolutely.
On the live show. Now, I guess for those that maybe aren't aware, you're a mystery. You're an enigma. You're a goat-headed internet presence.
Are you
beginning to unveil, like, you should do it. If you do reveal what you look like, you need to get, like, someone to do an effect that when Luke takes Darth Vader's mask off, that could be your reveal.
I could. I have thought about it, and if I end up going on like a live podcast or whatever, doing whatever, I'll probably do like a charity thing beforehand and be like, hey, if you want to see what I look like, you will in a week anyway, but if you want to do this, that's probably how I'll do it. But I'm still, I don't know why I'm so weird about it. I think there's a fear that I'm going to have to go back to regular work. And they'll be like, weren't you that idiot who used to yell about Spider-Man until that fell in the toilet? They'll be like, yeah, that was me. Yeah, thanks.
I still am that idiot.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But interesting how you were saying that you'd, you know, unmask for charity. It reminds me of Mexican wrestling. Their biggest matches are the mask versus mask matches where the loser must reveal their faces.
Oh, right. I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, that's like where they get paid the most money. Like, that's their big sort of almost retirement fund is when they do the match to reveal their face.
Right. So you're suggesting some kind of a wrestling match with somebody else who also doesn't reveal their face.
Yeah, a pot off.
And then like, a pot off. Absolutely, I'll do it. I'll fight. You know what? I'll just fight Kyle Chandler. How about that? I don't mind.
I'd pay. All right, let's go to our next call. I'm not sure what this number is. It's 4479.
Hello.
Who are you and where are you calling from?
Tell us. Sorry.
My name is Prasanna. I'm from the UK.
And you're talking far louder than our last UK.
Yeah, I don't. I'm wild.
You just don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. My mum is pissed. I don't care.
You're the Sex Pistols of callers.
Yeah, pretty much. James. Hello.
James, are you still there?
Mr. Sunday.
I think we've lost James. He's still on the...
Oh, man.
Switchboard?
Oh, I'm so upset.
I don't know where he's gone. Wait there.
Oh, man, that's heartbreaking. That's so heartbreaking. I can't believe that. You know, it's 3:26 a.m. Like, what the hell?
What he's gone. Yeah, what's your question? And then, and hopefully we can get him back on
Oh, God. Jeez, I didn't think I'd get through. So, well, I have several things on my mind. Firstly, if James ever comes back, tell him I emailed him and I sent him a link to a short movie and he watched it.
Okay, wait, I think I've got him back. Oh. Wait there.
Okay, I'm waiting.
He's there, but he can't talk.
Oh, what a dickhead.
James, what happened? We were doing so well.
Oh,
very sad. This is a tragic podcasting incident.
I can't believe that. I cannot believe that.
What are your questions? And we'll try to get them done when we can get back on to Sunday.
Yeah, sure. Well, I wanted to say from this some of the movies that I was tremendously pleased he watched a short movie I made. And he reviewed it, and I replied to him with a 10 things you missed from my film, and he never got back. But I was still very pleased.
I think you might have pushed the internet friendship too hard there.
We've only got
under 2 minutes left of the live call, so give us your questions, and we'll get them done on the bonus show for Sunday movies.
Oh shit! I don't actually have a question. Okay. I think the Star Wars films in the future are really benefiting from having a story group.
Yep.
And I think that, like, other franchises and other things aren't doing so well because they're struggling in a tug of war between studio control and creative control.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue One's going to reshoot. Do you think it's right that studios should have control, like, especially with Star Wars, which has got quite a emotional fan base?
Alrighty, we will tackle that one in the bonus section. I'm sorry that you got cut off from Sunday movies.
Tell him to email me or something. That's really annoying.
He'll be back on, but I will pass it on, and he's probably listening right now. We've got one more Skype person on hold. We'll get in the bonus section. Thank you for calling. We'll be back next weekend with more live calls, and of course you can listen to the archive on iTunes, and don't forget the normal Steel Wars show coming up on Tuesday. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week.
Still, can you hear me?
I can, James.
What happened?
I don't know.
I could hear you, but everything was connected, but then I just couldn't.
For those that are listening in that have not listened to your awesome podcast, The Weekly Planet, just give us a quick spiel on that one.
I can do that. It's something I do with internet celebrity Nick Mason, who you're probably all familiar with, even if you don't know who I am. It's where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. It's got its own YouTube channel. It's on iTunes, on Libsyn. You can find it all of those places. And it's just it's a fun time, I think.
It is a fun time. It is part of my Monday night ritual. It normally downloads on the way to the gig we run at Spleen. So I listen to the first bit while I set up chairs. And then when I drive home, I listen to the little bit. I usually, by the time I get home on a Monday night, it's normally that very fun Little Letters song getting played.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, yeah. No, I appreciate it. That's really cool. I should come down to Spleen. I haven't been there.
Yeah, come hang out. I won't out you as who you are.
Okay.
But
just ignore me. Yeah.
And yeah, so James has got a full length Steel Wars interview up on the website, and as does his partner Nick Mason. And Mason also did the and he's also on a live show. With Dil Rook, which is a very popular one.
What was his question? Because I kind of disconnected then came back.
I've got that question, and we'll get to that in a sec. I've just got one more caller. I don't think we're on the live stream anymore, but we can take this. Hey, you guys, I hope you enjoyed that awesomely fun live call-in show. I'm getting the hang of it. I've got much to learn about this call-in format and how to best utilize it, but I'm having a tremendous time learning the ropes, the strategies to be a master call-in broadcaster. And a huge thank you to James, Mr. Sunday Movies, for his knowledge and humor. I always love talking to James. And hey, if you were just thinking, hey, I would sacrifice half a cup of coffee this month to hear 50 more minutes of those guys going at it and answering questions and hitting Star Wars news, well, hey, it is your dream come true, because on the Steel Wars supporter page, we go for another 50 minutes. If you were signed up, you'd be listening to that right now rather than me telling you how important your support is to the podcast. We talk about who would recast today for the prequels. Why is a droid like 3PO so incompetent? Is Disney interfering with Rogue One? Should we want them to? What would help the DC films? The pros and cons of the Tarkin novel. A breakdown of a very enlightening Rogue One prequel novel. That is a good section. Does Jin have an Unki Mendo? There's one to think about. What are we most looking forward to in the future of Star Wars? And tons, actually more. We jammed in so much chat into that 50 minutes. It was a super good time. So if you want to hear that, Steel Wars supporter page, you can sign up for that through Bandcamp, and the link is on steelwars.com, and you get a VIP RSS feed where all the supporter content is sucked right into your phone or media device of choice, and you have more Star Wars content than you could possibly get through. And in saying that, it is possible to get through all the content, but it will take a while. I'm talking at least a week of constant listening. Nothing else. Staying up. At least a week. Just for three lousy dollars. I feel like I should be in the discounted rug business, as I have gone crazy. And I encourage you to take advantage of my lunacy on the Steel Wars supporter page, steelwars.com. And I'm not trying to rip you off. I'm not trying to run a scam. I am trying to really oversupply you for your $3 a month with Star Wars content, so you'll never be left on a drive or doing the dishes or mowing the lawn without fresh Star Wars content to listen to. That is my role. If you're in Melbourne, we have a live podcast coming up this Saturday, the 10th of September. I should point out that supporters got $5 off their ticket price to that. It's $15. They got in for $10. So you can sign up now, get the code, and buy a ticket. That would be tricky. And you also get 15% off at the merch store. So if you wanted to get your Snoke Theory Sucks stickers or t-shirt, a Have You Seen Him sticker or t-shirt, you get a bonus off that as well. So I'm trying to make it easy for you guys, you know? As well as the live show, we are doing the LA Podfest on the 23rd to the 25th. We are on the Saturday night, which if you are in Australia, which will be the Sunday around midday, I believe. And how that works, you can buy a virtual ticket. It's normally $25, but if you use the coupon code STEEL, that goes down to $20. And you get access to the live stream for an entire weekend of live podcasts. Some of the best comedy podcasts in the world will be broadcasting live, and you get to watch it like a TV show. And there is three streams, so you've got a choice of three different things at once. And don't fret if you want to watch something else on the other stream or you have to go out. Everything will be archived on demand for a month after the show. And if you're also interested in podcasting, there's tons of the business of podcasting and all these podcast strategies and stuff on these other panels, which are fascinating. But you get awesome, hilarious
podcasts like Will Anderson's Tofop, The Todd Glass Show, The Dollop. Just even if you have not heard of these shows, if you normally listen to other podcasts, trust me, you will find some new podcasts that will be your favorites if you sign up to the LA Podcast Fest virtual ticket. Our guest will be announced very soon, and I hope it will make you gasp. And I hope it will make me gasp as well. I am hitting up people that are gasp-worthy. If you're enjoying the call-in show, please try to call in if the time permits in your life, in your part of the world. Spread the word on Facebook and Twitter. And there is now a blank slate of 5-star reviews on the charts on iTunes now. So I think we've got about 3 5-star reviews. We'd love to bank it up and vouch for us. So when other Star Wars fans hit the link, they go, hey, this guy liked it. I might like it too. This podcasting thing is a two-way street, and if you give me a little bit of support, I will give you years and years of humorous blithering about Star Wars. Deal? Deal. See you on Tuesday on the other feed, the old school Steel Wars podcast feed, as we talk to Adam Bray, the author behind Ultimate Star Wars, an amazing book, and everything you need to know about Star Wars, among many other guidebooks, including everything you need to know about Marvel. It's a great chat. He's a great guy. We're doing great stuff. Thanks so much, you guys. And hey, may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.